Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues going on locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show now, 25 years in the making. Thank you, listeners, for being so faithful. Also, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Henderson Properties and Perry's Fine Jewelry, both of whom have sponsored this show for months, even years, and I'm so appreciative of your support. Well, Ed Billick has his microphone open, and as usual, since COVID started, we've been doing a lot of commentary, Ed, on different issues that are going on, and there's just a sadness of heart for so many of us as we watch what's unfolding in the Ukraine. I find myself thinking, what if I was a Ukrainian citizen right now? What if I was living in one of those cities that's being surrounded by Russian armies and being strangulated in order to surrender? What would I feel like? What would I feel like if I was one of the over 1 million now refugees from Ukraine fleeing into other nations? And as I understand it, that is potentially 10% of their entire population. I just wonder how I would feel if I was in that particular position. And I want to have empathy for what's going on in the Ukraine right now, and it just is so sad. What kind of a madman would want to impose his will upon another group of people who don't want it? They obviously don't want it, or they would not be fighting back like they are. So I want to address today in this whole entire radio show the question of, if God is good, why is there this kind of war and suffering and evil in the world? I want to give an understanding maybe to people that God can still be good and allow free will and people expressing that free will negatively as well as positively as we are experiencing right now in the Ukraine. So I want to address that and get your thoughts as well.
You know, David, this is the 21st century. We live in a civilized world, and how can we sit and watch this occur? Before we get into that, we do this at the end of the show. So many of our listeners are with us the first part of the show. Let us say a prayer like we do at the end for the people of Ukraine and really for our world.
Yeah. Well, Father in heaven, I oversee your call to prayer today in my life. And I know I can only pray as you've commanded me to pray. So I begin by believing you are my Father, that you are in control of everything. You are in heaven, and holy is your name. That somehow you are a great and magnificent daddy who loves us so dearly. And I would pray the very simple prayer, Lord Jesus, that you taught me to pray, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I pray that the war in the Ukraine and all conflicts everywhere would cease, that they would stop. There is no war in heaven. There are no Vladimir Putins imposing their will on other citizens in heaven. And what exists in heaven, the perfect peace among all people, we want to exist here on earth. So I pray it would come. I pray your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no war in your will. You said, Lord, that one day the lion will lie down with the lamb. You said, Lord, one day that you will beat war instruments into plowshares, that the instruments we use for war will be beaten into instruments that will allow fertility to come from the land and people can eat and enjoy life to the full. We pray that day would come soon. We pray, Lord, for the Ukrainian people. We pray for all of them who are fleeing their homeland. We pray for those who are alone and who are afraid. We pray you would comfort them. Lord, I have actually heard of stories of angelic appearances to Ukrainian people right now, where they have been fleeing and wondering where they could get their next shelter, their next meal, that angels have actually appeared to them and walked with them to a place where they could be cared for. Lord, I pray for those kind of angelic encounters to go to your people and to help them in this very difficult time. Oh, Lord, it's so problematic to begin to look at all that exists in the world that is not of you, but we just continue to pray that your kingdom in heaven would come to earth, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And again, we know that in heaven there is just perfect love toward you, Father. There's perfect love toward one another. We claim what Jesus said is the Bible's solitude position on every single verse, and that is they're digested into love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Might we pray that would happen in the Ukraine, and that people would be free, people would be protected, and that all despots everywhere would be defeated. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ed, at this point, let's move to the setup for the rest of this show. And I want to begin to answer the question, if God is good, why is there suffering? Why is there evil? It's probably the most often asked question I am asked. Many think it's the Achilles heel of faith, that it is unanswerable. I don't think that's the case at all. I think there is an answer, and we will try to give that in the rest of the show. And we'll also keep looking at the Ukraine and what's going on there, how it might fit into what we call end times prophecies, what people are looking at today and going, that's very interesting. And as we do so, we can then continue to have the empathy that's necessary for all of our citizens, locally and globally, to care for them as they're walking through great trials in life. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT, and we will be right back. Well, we're talking about the broken world in which we live, and that's our subject today, especially as we look at war in the Ukraine. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Many of us sit in horror as we watch bombs blast, and especially think of the Ukrainian people who are having to flee their country, or those who are choosing to stay and to be a part of the rebellion, if you will. Ed Billick joins me. Ed, it's interesting that Jeff Childress, the NASCAR driver here in the state of North Carolina, a very wealthy man, this week was so moved by President Zelensky's statement that he didn't need a ride, he needed ammunition, and he was staying there. And this man, President Zelensky's taken a lot of heat for his former comedian, Dancing with the Stars kind of personage, but he has proven to be a courageous man, and you've even seen beauty queens who've stepped to the plate and said, I want my AK-47, who are going to stand and fight this to the end. So it's not going to solve itself quickly. We're going to be in this conflict for a good bit of time, and now we're seeing that Putin is surrounding cities in the Ukraine and operating almost like the biblical Nebuchadnezzar and other kings who would surround the cities and basically isolate them and strangle them to death until they surrendered. It looks like that's what he's doing in the major cities in the Ukraine. And I don't know exactly how we should respond here in America, except with prayers, which is what we did in the first segment. But there's got to be more. I know the church I pastor in town, Moments of Hope Church, is sending $10,000 to the Ukrainian people through Samaritan's Purse, trying to help them as they flee, give them food, water, etc. It's a small gesture, I understand that, but it's something. And I believe with all of my heart that when you send your money to a place, you are sending yourself. There's an interesting passage of scripture in Luke the 16th chapter where Jesus said, use your money to make friends for God, so that when you get to heaven, you'll meet those people and they'll greet you into heaven because you used your money to help them come to know God himself. I think it's a wonderful thought that we use our money for the purpose of eternity. And when we send our money to a place like the Ukraine through organizations like Samaritan's Purse or the Red Cross or whatever we might choose to use, we are sending ourselves. And it's a small but powerful and profound gesture. And I think I would encourage all of our listeners to do something like that if at all possible. But Jeff Childress sent $1 million. $1 million of bullets, ammunition. He was so touched by Zelensky's statement that he didn't need a ride, he needed ammunition, that he said, okay. And he worked with some friends in Washington to send that money, send those pieces of ammunition to the Ukrainian people to give them some help during this conflict and during this now civil war.
I don't understand. You got to help us. God created us all, and he created Vladimir Putin. Where does the evil come from in this man's heart, and or the people that surround him, or the oligarchs that are supporting him? Where do, after, you know, 7, 8, 9 days of this madness, where does that just all come from, David?
Well, Ed, I think you've got to go back to original sin and what we who read the Bible seriously try to understand these questions seriously. And the answer comes in Genesis 1 through 3, that in Genesis 1 and 2, God created this world, and he created it with Adam and Eve in a perfect garden. And there was harmony in that garden. There was harmony with God. There was harmony between Adam and Eve. There was harmony with nature. and there was harmony within Adam and Eve. No shame, guilt, fear, those kind of negative emotions that consume us all. There was perfect harmony. But God put a tree in the garden. It was the knowledge of good and evil. And he said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For at that moment that you do so, you will surely die. And we are all in Adam, and that's passed on to us. So when Adam ate of that fruit, and he declared his rebellion against God, that I'll decide what's good and evil, not you, sin was invited into this world. And sin not only consumed Adam and Eve, and they at that moment had separation from God, their relationship with God died, but also physical death became a part of their reality. God never intended physical death to be a part of his once good created order. Death is an evil intrusion into God's once beautiful creation. But Adam and Eve both rebelled, and they invited sin into the world. And now that nature of rebellion has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. Ed, to you and me, we all have it within us. It's just 2 degrees. But there's also an enemy who was the one who tempted Adam and Eve, and he's real in this world. I mean, I don't know if many people out there believe in a personal devil. I sure do, because I've seen him work in so many different ways in so many people's lives. And it's not just Vladimir Putin who's inherited this evil, sinful nature. I mean, I see it all around us in other people's lives.
Yeah, but to that degree.
Not to that degree, no. And he has exacerbated that choice that he has, that all of us have, to a very evil end. I would say that he believes he is in the lineage of the Romanovs, of the other czars in Russia. And from what I've read, he believes that he has a divine calling from God to restore the motherland of Russia. And Ukraine is the central part of that restoration. It is the physical breadbasket of all of that area, and Putin needs to feed this large number of people that he has. It's also got an oil reserve, and really, Russia is a decaying petrostate, and it is the 12th largest economy in the world. So amidst all the nations of the world, Russia is not a strong economy. But Putin wants to restore Russia to the way it was in the 90s as the major world power along with the United States of America. I think in taking the Ukraine, he would then have his eyes on the Baltic states, and who knows where after he would go. But his purpose is to make Russia great again, if you will. It's kind of a MAGA for Russia, if you will. That's what he desires to do, and he will do it at any end because he believes it's a divine calling. But you also need to remind yourself, he is also a former colonel in West Berlin, and he is a Soviet spy. He is a person who was raised in communist understanding, so he has also, as a part of his divine calling, this sense that he's basically a mafia boss, and he can do whatever he wants to whenever he wants to do it.
What's going to occur here, though, with all the strangulation and the sanctions and all, he is really created war against his own people in Russia.
Well, because
those poor folks will be suffering as well.
Exactly. And you see the demonstrations in Moscow and other places in Russia, many people knowing the horrors of war. But this guy is an oligarch, and he has other oligarchs protecting him, and he is operating as a dictator who wants to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Now, Ed, interestingly, the Bible says that as we move toward the end times, there's going to be many antichrists who appear. A-N-T-I-C-H-R-I-S-T-S, antichrist. It just means in replacement of Christ. In other words, there are going to be people who appear with great power, and they operate against Christ. They operate in their own power and strength and cause misery in this world. In fact, sadly, the Bible clearly states that as we move toward the end times, evil is going to increase. It's going to exacerbate. Jesus said in Matthew 24, before I return, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Then he says there are going to be pestilences, which with COVID-19, many of us go, that was a worldwide pestilence. And Jesus predicted that these things would happen. But let's especially focus on his prophecy that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There were more wars fought in the 20th century than all of human history combined. We're only seeing that increase now in the 21st century. And I think you're going to have more antichrist plural who come to the fore for the purpose of wreaking havoc upon this world. I think Putin is in that particular strain of people, and we're seeing it right before our eyes.
And then the world is rallied. The entire free world is rallying right now. And that's the optimism I have. But I don't know where this thing will end, though.
Well, I think you're going to see Russia try to control the Ukraine. You're going to have Ukrainian people who will continue to be freedom fighters. You're going to see that resistance continue to occur. Just like in World War II, you had another antichrist type named Adolf Hitler, who imposed himself upon Western Europe. Well, what did you have in France? You had La Résistance, as they called it, the resistance. And people continued to fight for freedom underground, doing what they could surreptitiously to destroy Hitler from within. I think you're going to see that same kind of thing in Ukraine. You're going to see the iron fist of Putin trying to put that down, and you're going to see the people continuing to cry out for liberty and for freedom. And will the world come and support the people of the Ukraine who are fighting for freedom? You have other questions like, why is Germany still purchasing gas and oil and those kind of things from Russia? How could they do that? Why is the United States purchasing 500,000 barrels of oil from Russia? It just makes no sense. Why are we not energy independent like we have been in the past? Why in the world would we have an association with this oligarch named Putin who is using us for his own ends of reestablishing the motherland, Russia?
That global economy, and I'm not an economist nor historian, although I've studied World War II, that global economy I don't think existed to the degree it does today back in the 40s and the 30s. So that global economy, as you're stating there, also can become a weapon. And it is being used as a weapon to pull funds and monies out of Russia.
And if you ask me for my hope on what might happen, it would be that we would continue to see the world's financial systems put pressure on Putin. And if you have, for example, Germany and the United States and the European Union and those kind of organizations withdrawing their oil support from Russia, and you start seeing him, Putin, being hit in his financial pocketbook, I think you might see then the oligarchs who are surrounding him and protecting him, who can't take their vacations in Greece or Italy or wherever, starting to say, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Maybe that pressure comes upon him and he's forced out from within and not from without. It's maybe a wrongful hope, but it's the only one that I really think makes some sense.
And prayers for the poor Russian people that will be the ones that will suffer from it.
Well, and you might even hope that the Russian people from within, who really do believe that we're all created in the image of God, might come to the surface as well, and we might see a magnificent sense of the common humanity that all of us share, our common desire for freedom, come to the fore, and that might be what pushes Putin out. Those are my hopes. Those are the things that give me a desire to continue to believe, and I think it could very well happen. But until then, we're seeing war and rumors of war and all kinds of pain and difficulty in a part of the world that many of us have never been to, but we need to pray for and continue to give them our support. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We will be right back.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are.
I mean, what can we do amidst the Ukrainian crisis except send our money to help people and also pray? And we do believe that when we pray earth to God, God does hear our prayers. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, we have been talking during this show about the crisis in the Ukraine and what we as people of faith here can do, how to understand it. I'd like to invite all of you, if you'd like, to go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend programs, and you can download this show from beginning to end, commercial free, and hear my thoughts about this particular crisis. My friend Ed Billick has his microphone open as well and is asking me some very pertinent questions regarding what's going on. And Ed, you asked me one during the break that might be of interest to people.
You know, you watch a lot of the news feeds and you see people hunker down in their cellars and their basements, and you see them in churches praying. They look like a religious people. They look like a Christian people. What is the religious background of a lot of these folks, David?
Well, Ed, a lot of people might not understand the three major streams of Christianity in the world today. The first one would be the Roman Catholic Church of your persuasion and your commitment. It was the major church of the early church. And then there was a side that broke away regarding some different issues theologically about Mary and about some other things. And that group that broke away and made Istanbul their major capital instead of Rome is called the Orthodox Church. And they have much in similarity with the Roman Catholic Church, but there's enough difference that they did separate. They have their own pope, if you will. They have their own religious hierarchy. And I would say that they are generally Orthodox in their basic Christian commitment. That's why they call themselves the Orthodox Church. They tried to reclaim the essentials of the faith.
And Orthodox means?
It means just bottom line fundamentals. It's like when I began playing the game of basketball, there were certain things that I was taught from day one that I needed to do and do well: dribble, shoot, pass, move my feet, play defense. They're just basic fundamentals on how to play the game. Well, orthodoxy means fundamentals. It just means those kind of basic commitments to the faith that we all need to have. Well, there were a few differences between the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox, but they broke away and they made another city their capital city. And they have begun their own movement of growth and expansion worldwide. You have the Greek Orthodox Church. You have the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. When Marilyn and I visited that country some years ago, we went into several Orthodox Ethiopian churches, and they're beautiful. They're magnificent. They are the ones that have given some oversight and influence to the Coptic Egyptian Church, which is considered a part of the Orthodox Church as well. So what you really have in this whole system is the Roman Catholic Church moved more westward as the centuries went by, and the Orthodox Church moved more eastward. So not only did you have the Greek Orthodox Church, but as the church expanded northward and northeastward, there was the Russian Orthodox Church that was established. Again, they have their own hierarchy, they have their own archbishops, their own bishops, etc., but they are a movement of Christianity that has been in existence for centuries. One earmark of them that I find very interesting and frankly attractive is they have a deep sense of the mystery. If you go to an Orthodox church, and you have Greek Orthodoxy here in Charlotte, for example, over on East Boulevard, a huge Greek Orthodox church, well, you'll see in their worship a lot of incense and a lot of prayers of mystery
candles,
to God.
Candles?
And, yeah, the candles, the relics that they have in their midst. It really is an interesting sense of celebrating the absolute mystery of God. They don't try to understand, for example, how God can be totally human and totally divine at the same time in Jesus. They just go, that's the way it is. They don't try to explain the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They say that's a mystery. They really celebrate mystery, but they have Orthodox commitments in their faith. Now, of course, in the 16th century or so, the Protestant Reformation broke away from the Catholic Church in the West. Protestant meaning protesting. The Protestants protested under some different and faith and commitment with the Roman Catholic Church. So you had the Protestant Church of that was formed in the 16th century through the different streams of Presbyterianism, Lutheranism, Episcopalianism, the Anglican Church, etc. All of those streams flow out of the Protestant Church. So, Ed, there are three major streams of Christianity in the world today. There is Eastern Orthodoxy, there's Roman Catholicism, and there's the Protestant Church. And those three streams have woven themselves interchangeably, if you will, throughout all of the nations of the earth. Well, you asked me about the Ukraine. The Ukraine is predominantly a Russian Orthodox church. That is who they are. And interestingly, in Russia itself, before the breakup of the motherland back in the early 1990s, you had two streams of Russian Orthodoxy, one that found mostly itself in Moscow as its central place. The other one was in Kyiv, in the Ukraine. Which one is older? The one in Kyiv. That's the one that gave birth to the Moscow Church as well. So as you look at the history of Russian Orthodoxy, it finds itself much more in the center of its formation and style in the city of Kyiv that is now under attack by Putin and his armies. So that is what you're watching on television, predominantly Russian Orthodox Kievan people coming together, lighting their candles, praying, hoping for peace, that God might intervene on their behalf. Now, what you had, interestingly, in Ukraine several years ago was a revival where God's Spirit broke out and thousands upon thousands of people gathered together in a new relationship with Jesus to worship Him, and in fact met in that huge area in Kiev called Freedom Square that Putin actually bombed this week, to his degradation and sadness in my heart, because it was a beautiful rallying place, not just for places of worship for people to come, but just as a place where Ukrainians could come together and simply meet. But again, that was bombed this week. But you had a real spiritual movement of God that happened in the lives of some Ukrainians there, I think mostly in the Ukrainian Russian Orthodox Church, and to the point where we've heard some stories of people who have been pilgrims, again, wandering, and angelic appearances have come to them. We've heard stories of Ukrainian soldiers with bullets whizzing by their head, and almost like they turned at the last minute and missed them. There have been spiritual encounters that many people have had during this conflict of angels and indeed the Lord appearing to them. And you just wonder if it wasn't a part of that revival that broke out several years ago of many people coming to faith in the Lord. So that's the basic foundation of the Christian faith in the Ukraine. It's Russian Orthodox, primarily formed out of the city of Kyiv, the capital city.
What you give me, and hopefully give our listeners, is some hope. If there's a divine intervention because of their religious persuasion, you think the good Lord may intervene in some way to stop this madness?
I don't know where else to turn, Ed. I've got to believe that. I mean, Jesus in Matthew 24 said, before He returns, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He declares it's like a mom giving birth to a child, that as the pain becomes more frequent and intense, it is an evidence of the child soon coming. So Jesus said, look and just watch and see what's around you as you see wars and rumors of wars increasing in frequency and intensity. It is an evidence that the end is coming soon. So I don't know when that could be, 50 years, 100 years, 500 years from now. I don't know. All I do know is that when there are wars and when there are rumors of wars and we see them increasing in frequency and intensity, it is an evidence that this world is moving closer and closer to that day when, and here's the hope, Ed, God will return and He will restore this world to Eden, to paradise, to original intent in Genesis 1 and 2. He promised that one day He will care, and I do believe, like you just said, for His children, for His people in the Ukraine, He is protecting them. He is there overseeing them. He is there caring for them. And He is guiding those who love Him in their pilgrimage to maybe another country, or protecting them there in that country. That is my hope, Ed. It's the only hope I have. If God is not in control of everything in this world, then He's not in control of anything in this world. You know, we do these Davidisms every morning, and you and I did one together on our audio with the station here at WBT this week. And one of them is, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Where else do we go? I mean, we can live in despair, depression, with the chaos that surrounds us, or we can live in faith and hope with the God of this world overseeing this world. Yes, it is a world in chaos. Yes, there are many people who have rebelled against God and are anti-Christ, like Hitler, like Putin, like others surrounding us. But there are a lot of good people in the world as well, people of goodwill, people who want peace on this earth and goodwill toward men. Those are the people we need to have bond together and say, enough is enough. Wars have to cease. We're going to bond ourselves together to make sure this kind of craziness doesn't happen again.
I feel sorry also for the younger generation, for them to see this, because, you know, you and I experienced Vietnam. Our parents experienced World War II, Korea. They've never really experienced anything like this. And for them, it's I'm thinking, okay, now you see what craziness is all about. And I think the younger folks are rallying around peace through social media and all the tools that never existed before. So that's my hope as well.
You're right, Ed. Boy, you're right on. And, you know, it's so true. We've had Afghanistan and Iraq and those kind of crises in the last couple of decades, but they're so far away. Exactly. And nobody has had to experience them so firsthand. This one, though, because of social media, is right in our face every day. So let us move to our last segment and continue to hope for that peace in the world that the Lord wants to give us all. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
I raise a hallelujah. My
There's something about the power of praise, that when we sing praises, it lifts our spirits, even amidst the most decadent times surrounding us. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to this last segment of the program. And we've tried to look at the Ukraine through the lenses of faith and values in this program. And you know, Ed Billick has had his microphone open with me during this program and has asked me some really wonderful questions. There are great people of faith in the Ukraine right now, Russian Orthodox believers who have a deep and abiding faith. And we're seeing them light candles, pray, and trust that God's overseeing even their most dire times. And I'm also reminded of that old, old song we used to sing in church years ago, "Lord, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." I like that. If we want peace on earth, let's have peace in our own hearts. Let's celebrate the fact that God has forgiven our sins and we're no longer at war with the Lord God of this universe, that we have been in rebellion against him since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve passed on that mess of rebellion to you and me. But God has come to us in Jesus and has forgiven us of our sins. We now have peace within ourselves. We're no longer at war with God. But we not only have his peace, we not only have that, we have his peace living within us. And if we know that he loves us and our sins are forgiven, we should then have peace in our families. Folks, let's forgive those people who've hurt us, who surround us, who live with us, and let's walk in peace with them. How can we hope for peace in the Ukraine if we don't have peace in our own hearts and peace in our own families? Let's strive for peace in this great city. Let's cause the divides that keep us from one another to be crossed. Let's allow ourselves to love people who have a different skin color, who have a different kind of attitude toward life that we have. Let's go to them and let's live in peace, because we can't hope for peace in the Ukraine unless we have peace in our hearts, peace in our families, and also peace in this city that we live in. And let's strive for peace in our nation. You know, the word devil, whom I believe really does exist, means the divider. He has tried to divide this nation, to put people at odds with one another so that we will be at war with one another. The only way we're ever going to have peace in the Ukraine is to have peace in our hearts, to have peace in our families, to have peace in our cities, and have peace in our nation. Could we come together as Americans and say our ability to live together as people who don't always agree, but sharing this common resource called the United States of America, might we forgive one another, come together in unity, and live in peace? I think that's what God would want.
Folks, you may, and it's just a small, I'm just thinking this out loud here. Many shows are put together. You plan them, you script them and all. Many times, David and I will come in, okay, what's the major topic? And our pastor here, David Chadwick, just takes off and pulls these thoughts and these things together. That's absolutely right, David. Peace within our families, within our communities, within our neighborhoods. That's the start.
Yeah, if we can't possibly hope for peace in the world and hope for peace in the Ukraine unless we have God's peace ourselves, within our families. And, you know, Ed, there's an underlying rage that exists in so many people's hearts, and the littlest thing sets them off. You see it with cancel culture. You see it with what goes on social media. And I just read it sometimes and go, well, no wonder there's war in the Ukraine, because there's war in the hearts of every person who practically lives. We see in James, the third chapter, where the questions ask, what's the source of wars? Well, isn't it the lusts and the angers that exist within your own hearts? Every war is caused by someone or some people who all have anger within their own hearts and then let that be expressed to other people.
That's not me, David. That's not me.
Oh,
people don't accept that. They don't see that.
Well,
maybe we should see that.
The only way the world will ever be healed is for all of us to see the anger and rage that exists within our own hearts and seek the forgiveness of the Lord and then have his love indwell us and that love then be expressed to this world in which we live. Again, Ed, we can't hope for war in the Ukraine to cease if we have wars within our own families, if we had hatred toward other people. It's just that same kind of spirit manifested in our little families that are now being manifested in an entire nation in the Ukraine. I mean, Putin is an aggressive tyrant. He is an oligarch. He is a madman. I think he borders on craziness, but he's letting that anger now being expressed so he can have a prideful oversight of the restored motherland.
What did Jesus say? Pray for your enemies?
He did.
I said a prayer for him last night. It took a lot for me to do that, but I prayed for Vladimir Putin, that God may inject his heart in Vladimir. It's crazy to think of that, but we should pray for our enemies?
I think so. I don't know what else would give our world hope. If we continue to play tit for tat, that you hurt me, I hurt you a little more. And then you hurt me back a little more, then I hurt you back a little more. It is an escalating conflict that ultimately causes people to kill one another. And that's what's happening in our world right now. And we haven't even addressed today that, will this set off a Chinese invasion into Taiwan? Will this set off more global conflicts? Which gets back to biblical prophecy, which says that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars increasing in frequency and intensity until Jesus comes back. So the real question, Ed, is everybody ready if Jesus should come back right now? Is your heart ready? Has it received forgiveness for your sins? Has it received the love of the Lord that is being manifested to the people who live within your family, within your neighborhood, in this city, in this nation, and in the world? Are you ready and looking upward to his second coming and being a person who uses the gifts that he has given you for his glory, not yours? How much money do you give away? How much do you care for others with your financial gifts? That money that God has loaned you for a few years on this side of eternity should be used for him. Are you loving the needy? Are you caring for their needs? You know, we have people now who are fleeing as pilgrims in the Ukraine. We have people who live right next door to us who are in all kinds of crises and pain as well. Do we really care for our neighbor who lives right next door to us? So you see, the only answer to all of these issues, all of these problems, is love. And I think it's the love of God, the love of God that is expressed through Jesus, that flows through our hearts. And we then choose every day to love, not hate. We choose to forgive, not to hold bitterness. We choose to move on with our lives and not let the past capture us and keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Dear friends, the Ukrainian crisis is real. We need to care for the people there, but we also need to let our hearts be free from our own pain so that we can love people well here. And when we do so, we'll have the kind of world that I think God wants us to live in. Ed, do you think we covered it today?
I'd say let us pray.
Well, you know, Ukraine is a big deal, and it is a problem. But, Lord, let's all go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask for his oversight as we conclude this show today. Well, our Father, our great Daddy in heaven who loves us so much, who gave us the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus, come now and help all of us have the faith that we need as we continue to move forward in this crazy world. We pray for Vladimir Putin. It's hard, Lord, but we pray for his conversion, that he would move from his death spiral to a life spiral and to love, not hate. Lord, we pray for all of those in control of this situation right now, that they would have great wisdom. We pray for our president, President Biden. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says we are to pray for our president. Pray for those who are in authority over us. Give him wisdom as he oversees this problem. Let us all come together and find ways without war of making this problem in the Ukraine go away. And Lord, give us peace in our own hearts. Give us peace in our families. Give us peace in our neighborhoods. Give us peace in our cities. Give us peace in this nation. And as we seek you, Lord, may we be instruments of your peace. Lord, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. I pray all of this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Talk with you all next week.